I'd like to open in prayer before we get started. Lord, thank you so much for today, God. God, thank you for another opportunity to come into your house, Lord. Lord, we want to come in with an open heart, Lord, and an open mind, Lord. Lord, that we'd listen to your word, God, and we'd understand what you meant, Lord, and we'd be able to put it into action in our own lives, Lord. Lord, we're looking for you, Lord. Lord, we know you're going to do something mighty, Lord. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. All right. You know, there's people that are coming to me that are asking, you know, how's the youth group doing? You know, are they praying? Are they using an altar? Do you guys have events? All those things. And I think what's happening is there's an encouragement from you guys that you guys stick together so great that you're spilling over outside and other people are starting to see it. And it's really, really impressive. And it kind of goes along with the message that we're going to talk about tonight. It's called encouraging others with your faith. And we're going to be reading out of 1 Samuel chapter 17. But before we get there, I want to set the background of what we're talking about. It's some of the younger times of David. And the way it starts off, the chapter starts off with Jesse, David's father, speaking to David. And David was in the fields being a shepherd, but David's three older brothers were at war with the Philistines. But David's father is mentioning to David, he said, what I want you to do is I want you to go and take this food to your brothers and bring me back good news. Almost like he's worried about the wealth. He's worried about the health of his sons because they're at war. And there's several things that are going on at the same time. And at the same time that Jesse's telling David to go do this, the brothers are in war. And what they're doing is they're camping in a valley. And it's the valley of Elah. And they're hiding there until the next day. And then they wake up and they go back to war with the Philistines again. The Israelites against the Philistines. Every day, over and over. But every day there's a man that stands up on the Philistine side. And his name is Goliath. And some of you are familiar with the story. Most of you are. Every day Goliath comes out and he makes a challenge. Every day he comes out and he says, take your best and get him together and put him out here and we'll fight. And whoever wins, Goliath's saying this, if I win, then you will serve the Philistines. But if your man wins, then the Philistines will serve the Israelites. That's the challenge every single day. And it went on for 40 days. Now remember what happened with David. David's going to have to leave the field as being a shepherd, have someone replace him, and go take the food to his brothers. So David does that. And when he gets there, it's unique because the scripture said that David ran to the front lines. He ran to check on the brothers and bring them the food. And when he got there, something different happened. He went down there the same exact time that Goliath stepped up and made his challenge. He said, you guys pick yours to fight me, to make it simple. But David asked a question. He said, whoever beats this guy, what's he to receive? Whoever beats this man, what's he going to get? But his brother said something that was kind of, you wouldn't expect. He said, why are you here? You're only here to see the war. Why are you, he even tells him, he says, you have a wicked heart. So David turns from him and asks another man, what will this man that beats this guy receive? And he says, well, from the king he'll receive his daughter in marriage, he'll receive riches, and his family will be exempt from taxes. Well, that's big in today's times, but it's bigger then. In other words, there's a great reward for this. We're going to start reading in just a moment. So, as that comes along, Saul's men overhear David, and the word gets back to Saul. So Saul calls for David, and he says, bring him to me, bring him to me. And we're going to start reading in verse 32. And it says, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of the Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you aren't able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. The uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put on a coat of armor and on him a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried to walk around because he was not used to them. He said, I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. He took them off. Then he took his staff in hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome. And he was despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, little g. Come here, he said, and I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you all into our hands. And the Philistine moved closer to attack him. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him, reaching into his bag and taking out a stone. He slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath after he killed him and cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their new hero or that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. The men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistine to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn all along the road from Gath to Ekron. All right. That's a lot of reading and a lot of story, but you know, there are some things that we want to know about David. And the name of the lesson again is encouraging others with our faith. But look, when you look at that story, I see a giant. They got hit in the head with a rock and died. We think that sounds like some of the movies we'd see today. You know, of all the movies that have been made about the Bible, I'm surprised there hasn't been one about David and Goliath. Not that they're factually accurate, but they still make the movies. But there's five things to look at that David had that I believe was encouraging to the army that soon followed him after he defeated Goliath. We got to remember all those other Israelites. You know, every day when Goliath would come out, they would be scared. You know, Goliath would say, "Which one of you is it going to be? Which one of you is going to face me?" And they'd back up. No, not me. No, not me. Every day that would happen for 40 days. And then the guy that took Goliath down was a little guy, small. But he was still encouraging to them. They still followed him. And here's 5 things. 1, David had a willing heart. You know, David wanted to serve God. And the 3 things that you look at under the willing heart, David wanted to serve God and he made himself available, but David wasn't afraid. And I don't know about you guys, but in the description of Goliath, in the description of Goliath, it said he was over 9 feet tall. That's a big man. I'm afraid of a guy that's 9 feet tall. That's just the truth. It talked about the weights and the things that he had and how heavy they were. And you start to be really intimidated by him. But in Psalm 27, verse 1, I think this is what David was thinking when he was thinking, all right, I'm going to go face this guy. Because remember, he told Saul, he said, don't be afraid today. You know, I'm going to go forward. I will do what needs to be done. But in Psalm 27, 1, it said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold, is the stronghold of my life. And whom shall I be afraid? All too often what we do is we look and we see the things out there that we're afraid of. And let me make it clear. You know, Goliath's not always a man. You don't have to speak it out loud, but who feels like there's something in their life that is big enough that they're afraid of? Look, I do. I got things I'm afraid of that I really don't want to tackle. I don't really want to jump on. But David had something different. David said, Lord, I know that you'll deliver me. I'm not going to fear anybody. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. But remember one of the first things I said, but David had a willing heart. See, he wanted to serve God. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand again if you want to. Who in here wants to serve God? I do. I want to serve the Lord every day. That's what I want to do. But here's what gets in the way. How many of you lead a very busy life? All the adults back there can raise your hand. I know better. All right. If you lead a busy life, has the busy life become an excuse for you can't do the things God wants you to do? You know, I've been talking to a few of you outside of this, and you say, I've got so much going and so much that I want to do, and I've even got so much homework that I feel like it's taken away from what I could be doing for God. The problem is, just because we're busy, it doesn't relieve us of the duty. What really we can look at is, because of our busy schedule, it really opens up another opportunity. How many of you find yourself on a sports field at some point? A lot. A lot. I see some hands over there. Did you know that's another opportunity? People sometimes say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that because I'm playing this. Well, if you're on the sports field, you can serve God right there. You can be the encouragement for those children just as well. We don't only speak God's name. We don't only do the things that He wants us to do in here. We do them everywhere. You know, that's what it really that I have fallen victim to myself, as I say. I'm too busy to study as much as I want to. I'm too busy to do these things. But the truth about it is, I just got to make time. I just got to make it work. I study when I can fit it in. I found myself, I saw a piece of scripture one time that the Lord showed me that really just stuck with me. And He was talking about me when He showed it to me. And it was in Matthew 15:8. It said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. See, that's what I was thinking. I want to serve God. I want to have a willing heart. I say I'm a Christian. I say I want to preach God's word just like He gives it to me. But is my heart really in it? Have I made a stumble somewhere? Have I made an excuse and say, Lord, I don't have time to do what you want me to do? I think that I'd made a mistake. But number two, this is a good one. David was willing to be the example. You know, I know that you guys feel like you're growing up and you're getting close to being grown, and you are, but you're still early in your life, most likely. And I think that it's crucial that you start looking for the Lord right now versus waiting until you're, you know, 30 or 40, or in Tommy's case, 50. All right. Until you start seeking God at a later age. Because the things that you do now will last you for the entirety of this life. David was looking early. Remember, it said he was just a young boy. It even said he was handsome. Just a young man. David wanted the chance to help. Again, remember, he's trying to be the example. David just looking for a chance. If you look at verse 31 and verse 32... it actually goes over it. It says, What David said was overheard to report Saul and to send for him. And Paul sent for him. He said, let no one lose heart on account of the Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. He's just a boy. He's just your age. The thing about it is, so many times I say, Lord, I want to be the example. But the problems that happen is when God calls on me to do something, I take a step backwards. Do you find yourself doing that sometimes too? God will say, I want you to be my representative right now. And you say, oh, yes, Lord, I want to do it. What do you got me to do? Well, I need you to do this. Oh, no, I'm not comfortable with that at all. I can't do that. Let me give you a story about a woman that I know. There was a woman that had come down to the altar, and she felt the need to go pray with her. So she did. But the Lord in the back of her mind was saying, hey, there's another one behind you that I need you to go pray with. And she was thinking, oh, I don't want to do that. No, I just want to pray with this one right here. So the Lord quit. And they prayed. But as soon as they stood up from this altar, the Lord reminded her, there's one behind you I want you to go pray with. And you know that feeling when the Lord's calling you to do something, and you're like, yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Because if I do that, it's going to get me out of my comfort zone. But she did. She turned, she went, she got the young woman, and they went to an altar. And that day, that woman rededicated her life to the Lord. That doesn't sound like that big of a deal, right? Did you know that just a few weeks later, that woman that she went and got went home to be with the Lord? That quick. She was just a little bit older than you guys. It was that fast. Now think of being the example right there. Am I going to go get her? Am I going to do what God wants me to do? What if she wouldn't have? What if she just said, I'm going back to my seat, Lord. I'm not going back there. Think of the importance of that very moment. If I'm going to be the example, then I have to shake off my fear. You know, really, that's what holds us back. You know, David knew God was going to help him. David knew that I'm going to get my rock, my smooth rock, and my sling. Let's take a guess at David's height. It's 5 foot. Is that fair? About a 9 foot guy, and I've got this rock and a sling. Do you feel confident about that? What if I give you a rock and a sling? And I said, there he is. If you rely just on your own ability, you know this is not going to end well. It's not going to be good. But when God's in it, it's all possible. In other words, watch and see what God does. When I say to the Lord, send me, just like David did, what you're doing is you're giving God the go-ahead to work in your life freely. That's what David was looking for. And the third point was David was willing to release his grip on comfort. If you look at verse 38 and 40 in the same chapter, 38 through 40, it says this. It says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. He fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried to walk around, but because he wasn't used to them, he said, I can't go in these. He said to Saul, because I'm not used to them, that's why I can't. So he took them off, then he took his staff in his hand, he chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, and he put them in his pouch in his shepherd's bag with his sling in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And you say, what's so significant about that? You know, David was willing to put the armor on. He was willing to put it on to see what it would do. But what happens when the armor doesn't fit? What happens when you're not comfortable in the armor? You know, then David was also willing to take it off. But he kept moving. He kept doing exactly what God wanted him to do. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier. Too many times in life, God's called me to do something. And I've said, all right, Lord, yes, I'll do it. Until I find out what it truly is, I've put the armor on. And then I find out that what I've prepared for is not exactly what he's calling me to do. So then I take the armor off and I give up. Lord, I don't have any armor. I'm backing up. I'm not doing that. I can't do it. You got a bunch of friends? Raise your hand. You got a bunch of friends. You got a bunch of friends. Do you care what they think about you? Do you care what they think about you every single day? Is that a legitimate question? Because when it gets right down to it, there's going to be a day, there's going to be a time where you have to make a decision. And if you've put that armor on of being this friend with these people, and then there's going to be a day where sometimes your beliefs are going to interfere with some of these friends, and then you've got to make a decision. Then you've got a decision to make. Now you've taken the armor off, and it shows who you are. Hey, I'm His, I'm God's. I am His, I'm not my own. Then you got a decision to make. Some people, and I've done it, I'm telling you, I took the armor off and became the same friend I used to be. Because I knew if I told them and I acted who I really was, it would affect our friendship. I can remember it. I was a teenager. And because of it, we still don't have the relationship today that we should. Because there come a time where I had to be brutally honest with him and tell him who I really was. But remember, David was willing to take it off and still move forward. David was relying on the things that God had already given him. Remember, David was a shepherd. He could hum a rock. You ever seen a sling? Do you know what they look like? Mm-hmm. It's not the thing that, you know, you get at Walmart where you know, how many's been popped in the leg on one of them? That hurts bad. All right, but this is different. David's sling, it's on a piece of, it's almost like leather, and it's got a pouch. And there's two sides, and they sling it. And it gets so much momentum that when they turn it loose, I mean, it's lethal. I mean, it hit Goliath in the forehead. It didn't say it struck Goliath in the forehead. That's not what it said. It said it sunk into his forehead. It knocked a hole in it. All right. And he fell forward. All right. You know, it's one of those things that if you ever, you can watch this on YouTube like this. I mean, this rock's moving. But that's what God had given David. He said, you're a shepherd. The armor don't fit. You know it don't fit. So David moves forward anyway. He said, I got this rock. This is what God's taught me how to do. How do you think he fought off those lions and bears? He didn't have armor. He did all those things with things that God had already given him. You know, God's already given you something too. And this is what's important. Who is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? Do you understand that that's a gift? God's give you something. Thank you, young man. Huh? I think he said amen. But that's what God's already give you something right there. And every one of you has things about you that are special, that are gifts. We can use them for the Lord. We don't have to stack on. Listen. When I knew that I was first called to preach and I finally got the opportunity, you know what I did? I run home and started studying wide open and trying to be somebody that I was not. I thought I had to get up here and sound like Billy Graham. If I don't sound like him, they're going to run me off. You know, and ask Tommy, he was here. It did horrible. What I had to do was just say, Lord, I know who I am. I know who you want. You just want me. And if I just do what you want, everything's going to be fine. And that's what it took, is me coming to that realization. Lord, I'm going to have to be me, just like David did. He said, I'm going to have to take all this armor off and just go do what I know I should do. The thing is, we develop comforts. Remember, David had to let go of the comfort. The things that we rely on, that we hold on to so strongly, that we're not willing to let go. You know, sometimes for the alcoholic, it's hanging on to that drink. I just don't feel normal if I'm not drinking. Or maybe somebody that's depressed. I'm just not normal if I'm not alone and just sitting by myself. Or anything that somebody's addicted to or can't turn loose of. See, if you look, he took it off. He didn't depend on it. He took it off. We got to ask ourselves, is there something that's keeping me away from what God really has? Because it makes me comfortable? Because I'm comfortable right here? You know that the reason a lot of times the alcoholic hangs on to the drink? Because that's where they feel comfortable. They've done it long enough that I can't let go of this. This is the only way I feel normal. I don't feel comfortable without it. You know, God can change that. Sometimes what it takes is coming down here to the altar saying, Lord, you can have this. Lord, I'm going to give this to you, and I'm going to step away from it. if you'll simply take it from me. And the fourth point is, David was willing to say, Lord, use me to help others. If you look at verse 32 again, it says, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of the Philistine. Your servant will go and fight for him. And you know that Saul said, you're not able to go out against and fight the Philistine. You're only a young man. And he's been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep, where a lion and bear came and carried off the sheep, and went after it, and he struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, he seized it by its hair. And your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. The uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The God, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. He's saying, use me. He's saying, look what God's going to do for me. I'll go do it. But remember later on, look what happened when he'd done it. What did the Israelites do? What did they do? Does anybody remember? You don't remember what the Israelites did after David killed Goliath? They killed them all. They were inspired enough to say, David can do it. Watch, I can do it. And they went and killed them all. It said the road was full of dead people. Took them out. You know, that's the kind of thing that speaks to my impatience a little bit. I'm an impatient guy. Are you impatient? Raise your hand if you're impatient. I'm impatient. You're teenagers. You're all impatient. I know you are. All right. See, David was a right now kind of guy right then. See, he didn't wait. He didn't say, Lord, let me go home and think about whether I ought to beat this old Goliath dude. No, I can't do that. I want to do it right now. How about this? Mom and Daddy say, I'm going to buy you a car when you're 16 and you're 15. Did you turn 16 every single night in your sleep waiting on that car? Come on, where's that car? I can't wait. I want it right now. And you know, sometimes that's not so bad. Sometimes it's not so bad. David said, I'm going to do it right now. David didn't say, I'm going to go home to my father Jesse and hang out and see what he thinks about it and mull it over with everybody and figure out whether I should do what God's asked me to do. David said, I'm going to do it right now. That's what's going to happen. We're going to knock it out today. You remember Daniel, we learned in VBS, being purposed in his heart, talking about he wasn't going to defile himself with the food. And some the luxury sat in front of him. And he said, I'm not going to defile myself. Well, this was David was saying something similar. He said, I'm going to serve God, not because luxuries are put in front of me and I'm tempted, but because evil is in front of me and I'm not going to bow down to it. I'm going to do something different. But remember, the beginning of this was being the example through encouragement. What we have to remember, we're Christians. Raise your hand if you're a Christian. Think about this. Do you know that other people watch you every day? You know what they're looking for? Some of them are looking to see how they can be like you. Some of them are looking to watch you stumble. Some of them want to say, yeah, they said they were a Christian, but look what he did. Or look what she did. They claim to be Christians, but I just don't see it. Remember, others are watching you. And if you're going to say, Lord, use me, know that they're watching you. You know, what we really want to be is the example that draws people to find out more about God, more about Jesus, till they get to the point to where they're willing to say, I want what they have. I want what they've got. Psalms 34:8 speaks to that. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one that takes refuge in him. Now, if we're going to take refuge in him, we're supposed to be looking at other people saying, hey, come taste and see what I've got. Come look what I have. There's nothing like it. It's irreplaceable. There's nothing that will double for the Lord. It is God. That's what we're trying to show. And the fifth point, and the last one. Simple. David was willing to fight the giant. That's what he said he'd do. Think about it from two sides. Remember, Goliath was sure that he was going to beat David. Remember that. Goliath didn't have any doubt. 17:43 says, he said to David, "Am I a dog that you come out with a stick?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, little g. Think about that. He said, "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." He said, "You come at me with sticks." Do you know what that means? He's saying, "I'm the big old mean dog, and you're going to come at me with a stick." You ever been chased by a dog? You ever been chased by a dog? Oh, I've been chased by a dog. I used to work for the telephone company. I've been bit by some dogs, especially the little ones. Tear your leg up. But you got a dog coming. And if I see this big old mean dog coming, and all I got is a stick, I don't like my chances. You know, that's what Goliath's telling David. Look at you. You're going to bring a stick. Because remember, David's got a staff. You're going to bring a stick? Look at me. Goliath was sure of it. But David knew that he was going to defeat Goliath. 45:46 says, David said to the Philistine, "You come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This day, this very day, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army," not just Goliath, all of you, "to the birds and to the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered in here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you all into my hands." Now think about the confidence of what David just said. He said, "I'm going to be the example." You know, David can't beat the entire army by himself, but he said, "I'm going to get every one of you." What do you mean by that? What he meant was, "I know that the Lord's going to allow me to take your life, and when he does, that's going to be an example to this entire group. And we're going to be the victors today." Because it says the battle's the Lord's, it's not David's. You can't beat God. I play golf with Tommy Bruce. He has a saying that's very funny. If he's beating me, he doesn't say it. But if I'm beating him, he'll say, "Now you're a preacher. I can't beat you and God." And I say, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, if God's on your side, I can't win." I like to think he's right, but he still does beat me, and he rubs it in a little bit. And he also has the nickname, the Encourager. But David's faith was encouraging the Israelites. They were soaking it up. See, after he beat him, David ran on verse 51 and stood over him, and he took a hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath after he killed him, and he cut off his head with the sword. And when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran, and the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistine to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. He killed him. He killed him, and look what they did behind him. See, that's what I want my life to be. I want to help others. I want to encourage others. But the truth is, sometimes I'm afraid to. Sometimes I'm scared to be the example. Sometimes I feel like I don't have the willing heart. Sometimes I don't want to be the example because I'm afraid of what other people will think about me. And what that is Satan speaking to you. Because God has so much more to offer than that. Sometimes what I've got to do is I got to go to an altar and I got to say, "Lord, I'm sorry that I ever doubted you. Lord, I know what you want me to do. Lord, I know that you have something for me to do and I just can't quite figure it out. Lord, help me. Lord, take away my doubt. Lord, take away my unbelief. Lord, show me that I can do it through you, for you." In Psalm 40, verse 4, it says this. And y'all remember this. "Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust." If y'all would stand with me. I'm going to walk around a little bit. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Do you trust that God? Do you believe that God is capable of doing something similar in your life? Do you believe that? Or is it just something that you do on Wednesday and Sunday? And that's an important question. Is Jesus Christ your Lord every day? Or is he just Lord of Wednesday and Sunday? That's a question I had to ask myself. You know, these altars here at Hiram First Baptist are always open. And you hear that from our pastor. And you guys use them really more than anybody. But if we're honest with ourselves and we want to be the example that you know God's called us to be, we're going to have to say, yes, Lord, you and not me. We're going to have to be able to say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do, and I believe you, and I have faith that you love me and that you're going to help me, and we're going to get this done. Now, if the Lord spoke to you today, here's another challenge. Would you go speak to him in front of other people? That's what matters. Do we trust him? Remember, Psalms 40, verse 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust.